Okay, so yesterday, I'll get to explain what's going on, why I shaved. So woke up, obviously we went to bed last night. The night before that we went to bed pretty late. Obviously got the kids and for the most part got things unpacked and whatever. But yesterday I woke up pretty anxious. And just like conscious of just everything that's on my plate. And for sure there's some things that are like arbitrary, but there's certainly things that I'm like, man, we really want to not miss out on these opportunities and opportunity cost by not like having things in place and all these different things, hey. So just all this stuff on my mind and everything. So I got up a little earlier than everyone else, went and sorted out the shed, unpacked the trailer, and today was that day was my day of just getting everything done, everything I needed to get done. So I went and unpacked the trailer, went dropped stuff back to places, like, you know, took the quad back to my in-laws' place because it gets more use out there than it does at our place. Did that, took all the washing because we had heaps of dirty washing. So I just went straight to the laundromat, threw that on, all this sorts of running around and stuff, and came home and, by the time, washed the car and everything else, by the time that I actually got all that done, it was pretty close to midday. And, and then just started tidying up the house and all these sorts of things. And then, so I had a meeting with foodie coaches, these guys we've been doing the coaching with, and they've been really, really great. By far, like, the best coaching structure that I've had in any sort of, like, this would be our fourth different coach for various reasons, but specifically, by far, the best coaching experience we've had so far. So I had a catch-up meeting with them, and we've been assigned like a new group and coach and stuff. And so just meeting up with him and one of the other members and just getting to know, I guess, who's who. And then I, had a, meeting with Nero. Nero, for those who aren't familiar, is this guy that, is kind of like a mindset coach for me. He was the guy that I reached out to when I was at a loss, where I was looking at going like, okay, if I'm to be objective about my behavior, I would say I'm self-sabotaging, but I wouldn't say that about myself. Obviously nobody would. But if I'm to be truthfully honest, that's exactly what's happening. So I've been working with him for a while. A little while back, I thought we'd kind of come to the end of our tether, or end of our relationship together. But there's still certainly a lot of value, especially in the personal understanding yourself domain, that he's got left to deliver. So the biggest thing, it's been on my case about this for a while, the biggest thing is around my health. And I know that I alluded to a lot of this when we're down in Esperance as well. And so this is interesting, is that I, you know, no dramas health-wise at all while we were away. First day back, I got pretty crook. Obviously, it's obvious that it's related to stress. Like, there was a lot of stress, then all that happened. And, you know what I'm finding really interesting as well? Because even the night before, I'm really struggling to not fall back into just like my default patterns. For instance, I loved how little time I spent on my phone while we were away. It was amazing. And, you know, and when I wanted some sort of stimulation, I would read a book or rather than just like doom scroll. And I'm really struggling to not fall back into that pattern since we've been at home. And it's like less than 24 hours and it's really, really difficult. So I'm just going to quickly switch to my notes from my meeting with him. So my whole thing was that to me, there's like there's no point trying to eat healthy because they're all loaded with chemicals and shit anyway. Like, and the thing is, and we know that's true, but it doesn't mean that I don't at least try. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a solution. Like, I'm a big believer in creative problem solving, and I've kind of just abdicated that. So the question that he asked me was, what's the benefit to not eating healthy? Or, sorry, what's the benefit to the belief that fitness is too hard right now? Or what's the benefit to the belief that that not eating healthy, there's no point to eating healthy? Right. And what came to mind for me was, and this, what I've learned with these things, you just got to respond intuitively. And and he was saying, like, well, I've got a big, and he's been on my case about this, I place a big value in comfort, which I argue, because I do a lot of things that are like, that are uncomfortable, you know, I mean, like, fucking hell. I went and ran 50 kilometers. Prior to that, I think I might have run 10. But I ran 50 kilometers weighing like 100 kilo to raise funds for these kids. Like, that's not easy. That's low-key like a little ultra. And I'm proud of that. And I'm like, yeah, but that's hard. That's not comfortable, you know? So, but he is also right. And one of the things that we found is that, like, ultimately, like, there's all these, looking at my notes here, is that ultimately, like, I'm doing well comfortably. We're on a good trajectory comfortably, but one of the benefits to eating poorly and being unfit and stuff is that I'm able to blame someone else for my poor health. And that I don't actually have to take responsibility for it, right? Because it's on someone else's shoulders. And if there's one thing I know about how I operate, and I don't like it, but I do really, really well when I'm backed in a corner. And I mean, I come out swinging and I get shit done that just is very impressive. And I know there's a lot of people that operate that way. So unintentionally, what I do is I back myself into a corner. So I sabotage my environments and stuff and back myself into a corner so that I'm in a position where I have to actually act so that I can grow. Because this is the interesting thing is, one of my other things I value really highly is growth. I really, really value growth. But this is dichotomy, right? Because I value growth, but I also value comfort. And then this whole thing around comfort, right, is that I've got children awake. All the kids are awake. I have to wrap this up soon. Is that I value comfort a lot, right? And to me, comfort is the ability to do, ultimately, comfort is important to me because I can do what I want when I want. Right, that's why. And it's funny because when I think around the definition for freedom, people often say freedom is the ability to do what you want when you want without repercussion. And the issue with that is that discipline is actually freedom. When you think around freedom, freedom being the ability to be able to attain something that you want, well, freedom is the ability to be able to have the discipline to go after the thing you want and do what's required, rather than abdication of responsibility. And yeah, so we kind of went through this whole activity of going like, okay, like, you know, how old was I when that first came to mind? And the first thing that came to mind was I was about, I actually can't remember the exact age, but I remember standing in our little cottage home when I was younger. And I remember my dad saying, I wouldn't get out of bed for less than $1,000 a week. That was the first thing that came to mind. That was just the intuitive thing that came to mind. And the thing is, I'm not blaming him. And this is one thing I raised with Nero. I was just like, mate, everything seems like all my problems seem to come back to my old man. I was like, and I'm just sick of like pointing to him and being like, oh, you know, you're the problem and all that sort of shit. Cause it's so fucking like, it's so weak. And he kind of put me in check here and he was just like, mate, like, your interpretation of what your old man was doing is the problem. Your old man didn't do anything. What he did was neutral. You interpreted it a certain way. And I was like, okay, cool. So it was kind of good for me to be able to be like, okay, well, I can say what I need to say without feeling like I'm just blaming him for all my problems. So that was really cool. So, I mean, whether he decided to go to work for less than a grand a week or not, and this is back in, like, you know, the early 2000s, so I would have been maybe 10. No, actually, I would have been, probably between, like, 6 and 9 somewhere. And for that, because there were some days that he was comfortable enough that he didn't need to go to work unless he was earning the money he wanted to earn, he was able to be at home and play and hang out with us, right? And as kids, you only ever want the attention of two people in the whole world. And because he was comfortable, he was able to do what he wanted, I was able to get that, you know? So it was really insightful for me because I'm going like, I can see the positive correlation, but then I've turned it into a negative thing where there's this overwhelming pursuit of comfort at the expense of growth. And what I do is I remain comfortable, and until I'm in a position that I do need to grow and I'm forced to grow, and then I come out swinging. And the unfortunate thing with that is there's a lot of areas of life that you don't need to come out swinging, but you actually just need to nurture. And with that mentality, there's very little nurturing. And so you're missing out a lot of the other aspects of life that is growth. So the other thing that he said to me then was like, okay, well, what's another word for comfort? And I was like, well, first thing came to mind, laziness. And he's like, right. He's like, so if we're going to use comfort and laziness as synonymous with each other, and I know that they're not, but in this instance, that's the definition that was in my mind. The question is, what has others being lazy cost me? And when I reflect, I get really, other people's laziness really frustrates me. And I think whenever there's anything that triggers you, right, positively or negatively, it's because there's a level of resonance. If I see someone up on stage presenting to a heap of people and I want to be up on stage presenting to a heap of people, I'll find that inspiring. If I see someone lying and I don't like lying, then that's going to really stir me up because I know what it's like to lie. And so for me, the fact that I was so pissed off with other people's laziness was really just deflection from my part. And so the question was, what does other people's laziness cost me? And I said, well, first thing was depth of relationships. It's when people don't want to show up and they don't want to be honest with themselves and they don't want to, like, you miss out on the opportunity to actually have a meaningful relationship with people, right? And he's like, yeah, cool. And what else? And the other thing that came up was progress. You know, there's a lot of progress foregone in the circles that I operate because of people's laziness. And then the question was flipped around and said, well, what does my laziness cost me? And the first thing was authenticity. That's what came up, is that, you know, I always say that, you know, I want to actualize my full, who I could be, my full potential and stuff. And that I'd say that is authenticity, but laziness has cost me a lot of that. Like, I am absolutely not who I could be right now. And therefore as well, progress. So yeah. And so it's really interesting because I get to blame the food industry for my laziness. And that was the big thing. So then what we decided was for me to, like, I take action best when I'm backed in a corner. So what I need to do is back myself in a corner. And the truth is I've been quite overweight. When I say overweight, I'm about 110 kilo at the moment. And I could be a lot healthier, but I've not been, and it's purely from a point of laziness. So I have, so what we needed to do was I was using my beard to really hide my double chin here. Right. And, cause it was certainly there, but just look at that. Jesus Christ. But by exposing it and being very, very public and vulnerable to everyone, is that it's going to put me in a position where I need to take action. So now I'm like, man, I hate looking like this. I hate looking fat. I hate having a double chin. No offense to anyone who feels like they're overweight as well. But that's where I'm at from a point of self-reflection. And that's why, and the thing is, if my beard was a fashion statement and it was to like add to my, I guess self, like image aesthetic, then I'd be looking after it. But I wasn't. It was unkept and so there you go. So the reason that I shaved my beard off was because I need to take action, and with how my psychology and my mindset works at the moment, is that if I'm going to take action, then I need to put myself in a position where I'm backed in a corner so that I do take significant action. Yeah, so that's that. So, yeah, so that was it. So anyway, so after that, kind of debriefed with Beck and that was cool. And I was in the office doing some work, and Beck was having a bath, and I could hear, you know, I could hear the kids in the bath with her, and it was so beautiful just to hear her. And this is like the mindset shift from Montessori already, hey. And so I'm really looking forward to embodying this a lot more as a family. But, you know, the involvement rather than trying to like keep everything tidy and orderly and, you know, keep the kids, doing what you want them to, and, you know, not making more work for you and stuff like that. Man, she was fully into it. Like the kids were like having the time of their lives, and man, I was so proud of her, eh? Like, yeah. They thrive with Beck. And I'm really excited to see Beck really loosen up a lot with the expectations she's got of the kids and herself, and just have fun with them and learn in the process. I mean, we intend on starting to homeschool next year, so I think that'll be good. The kids were super excited to shave me, so I ducked out and got some razors and all that sort of thing, and I put it up on Facebook last night, and Lexi and the, I just didn't want to shave and you know, rock up and be like, ha ha, here I am, you know. So all the kids are saying, Dad, you look weird. Dad, you look different. And they've never seen me without a beard, you know. So, one thing that interesting that came up, like Beck and I, we've been talking about, you know, getting fitter and that sort of thing for a while now. And for Beck, obviously for my part, it was just laziness. But for Beck's part, don't get me wrong, there's an element of comfort that she loves as well. And she loves comfort, you know, she'll say that. But there's also a, we kind of said that, okay, like after Barb and after Beck's back in like a good sort of state, that we're going to, we'll start getting fit together. And there was this kind of moment that she had where she got really upset because she's like, oh, you're going to leave me behind. And I was like, no. I was like, if anything, I'm just going to go ahead of you. That's all. And she kind of related them as the same thing. I don't see them as the same thing. And that was something that we kind of need to work through, because I don't want Beck to feel like I'm just leaving her in the dust and being like, sort yourself out, you know, like I definitely want to do this journey with her. But yeah. So yeah, anyway, so the kids were saying that I look really weird, look really different. And that's funny. And then lastly, you know, I was putting the kids to bed and we're tidying up and all that sort of thing. And Lexi says to me, she's like, Daddy, can you carry me to bed? The kids just love being carried to bed. I don't understand it, hey. Although I remember it too. I remember loving it, but I just don't understand why we love it as people. And I was like, where's Lexi? because she was like literally waiting at the end of the hallway, like right at the front door. I was like, oh, went and picked her up. Sure as eggs, and Eliza needed it, so I picked her up. Then Tilly wanted it, and Tilly, I was like, where the hell is she? And Tilly was waiting. Literally the furthest point away possible from her bed was like right around Beck's side of the bed in our bedroom. And I was like, girl, you know, and I'm conflicted because like, I just want to go to bed. Like, I just want to get my stuff done and go up in bed and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be 80 years old one day and I will give absolutely anything to have this moment back. So enjoy it. And I think the one thing when I think around, you know, a few days ago, I was reflecting on my thing with Sterling and how like, I feel like I've only got 20 to 30 holds left where he's like, he'll just sleep on my chest and maybe more, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong and maybe there'll be more, but you know, Beck and I finding ourselves trying to lap up every single opportunity we've got to just appreciate this newborn phase when we could have been having that entire time along, you know? And so when I think around, you know, rather than waiting until our youngest kid, Sterling, is Lexi's age and going like, oh, you know, like quickly, like, you know, let's lap this up and everything else. Like, how about we just lap it up right now? How about I lap up how Lexi is as a 6-year-old right now? And that I'm excited about. I like that. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm going to go sign up to the gym again. I do have some weights out the back, but I'm very intentional about what I do want to shape. I'm looking forward to getting a chiseled jawline. Yeah, I'm going to work on that. And just turn it into a fat beast. Watch this space. You guys will see the updates throughout the days anyway. We'll get rid of this dog. Yeah. Anyway, love you guys. Bye.